You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast.
Yo, yo, mi gente, it's La Verdad Podcast, back at it once again, another week, another episode. You're listening to Carlos Martinez, and I'm here also with our great co-host, Cristian Alequin.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? It's been a very eventful week, man.
Yes, we had taken a week off, then we came back with a great episode. It's been one of my the most fun episodes to record for me because I always like learning.
Yep. Yo, and the last episode, for those of you guys who are listening to us for the first time or catching up, it was in regards to salsa. And as a lot of you guys know, I love salsa, bro. So I've been on this thing, man. Like, I've been listening to some old school salsa on a day-to-day. I've been sending Snapchats of myself to Carlos, bothering him, showing him all the old school salsa that, that I'm listening to, just turning up by myself in the office while I do work. I mean, there's nothing like it, bro.
No, yeah, and it's always fun. But what I really liked about it was getting that perspective from Chicago, from the Midwest. You know, we always... Yeah. Growing up, especially with my friends, I would always see the debates back and forth. Where salsa from? You mm-hmm. know, in New York, there was a heavy Cuban influence. You had a lot of other people, Dominicans, some Colombians, but primarily it's always been a Puerto Rican and Cuban kind of who centered yeah. that art form. But in Chicago, it was heavily Puerto Rican, and so it was really cool to kind of get that perspective from your uncle. And I've had some friends telling me they learned a lot, that they liked it. And so, you know, we hope all of y'all did too.
Yeah, and then we had the inside scoop of a musician itself. So we got to see, we got to listen to how, you know, some of these big name musicians, what they were doing behind the scenes and all that stuff. So,
yeah,
it's exactly just like the movies, huh?
Yeah, that Hector Lavoe and Willie Colon story was nice. It was a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, but even before that, that group talk where we got together with Ati and my friend Ivan and Vanessa, and you know we just kind of just chilled, kick it. It really was inviting our friends to one of our chill sessions, mm-hmm. and at least in that 2 week span, it had one of the fastest to get to 100 listens, and nice. So people were liking it, so we're gonna have to try and do that again. I told Christian the goal would be, you know, either I go to Chicago once a month, he comes to Grand Rapids, Michigan once a month, and we're going to try and record with each other and just get some of our friends together again, because, you know, just let it happen organically, maybe grab a couple of beers, you know, mm-hmm. magic, great conversations can happen.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of feedback on that show, dude. Like, it was just kind of like, I would say it was one of my favorite ones, man, because it definitely felt like one of them old school chill sessions, you know what I'm saying? So we were just chilling there, talking. We brought up different points. And, you know, Carlos and I, we for the longest time, that's what we used to do. So that's why we got together and did this podcast, because it's just what we like to do. We like to, you know, or just chill and just talk about current issues and kind of get different people's perspective and argue against them. And bro, I've been getting so much feedback on that. Man, we're going to have to do another one, bro.
Not for sure. But one of the biggest highlight within the last like week and a half for us was getting featured on iTunes News and Noteworthy. That was a goal. Yes. That was a goal we had. And like, woo! I didn't know if it was going to happen. I heard that for that first time around, you get about a 1 to 2 month little window where they'll get you on there, at least on the mm-hmm. new portion of it. And so after a while, I was like, nah, it's probably not going to happen. Because, you know, we're young. We don't have a big marketing machine or anything behind us. Yeah. So all the listens have just been organic. But I was reading an article one day about podcasting, and I said, you know what, let me just check the news and Noteworthy. And sure enough, I had to scroll down a little bit. You know, we weren't right at the top, but we were on it. So that was a major goal accomplished.
Yeah, man. It felt great, bro. Like, I remember you texted me like early as hell. And I'm like, man, like, what's going on? You know, so I checked it out, and man, it felt good, because you know what? People are listening. So thank you, mi gente, for listening to us, because, you know, it just gives us more fuel to keep doing what we're doing. We've been getting great feedback from that, and we know that you guys are listening. So aside from that, man, just hit us up if you guys want to hear something specific or something, a new topic, or maybe you want to add to whatever we're talking about. Go ahead and hit us up on online. You know, you could go to Facebook, TD. You could go directly to our email, info@laverdadltd.com. Yeah. You know, hit us up. I'll give you Carlos's phone number. You could call him.
I don't know about all that. Yeah, it's La Verdad LTD everywhere, and you know, and all the social media handles. But you know, the biggest key for me with that kind of nice little surprise is that sometimes you just got to trust the process. Every week we try our best to put out an episode. We've done it each one except one week, and honestly, we didn't have something good to put out. So instead of just BSing something together, we decided, you know, we're just gonna chill, take it back a week, and sure enough, people hit us up that they want it more. But you gotta keep grinding. You know, let that be a lesson for anything you guys are working on. Keep grinding. Trust that process. When you set up a goal, you know, create whatever those daily to do tasks or weekly to do tasks are gonna be. And give us some time. So in this case, it took almost 2 months, and the result has been a bunch of new listeners, right?
Yeah.
Not that we had a huge listener base to begin with, but it, at least from iTunes, it literally within a week doubled the amount of folks who were downloading the podcast. And so for us, that's major. Every single person that checks it out and honors us enough to press play, it's always a nice day.
Yep. And the best feeling that I get is that we're able to plant a little bit of a seed into people's lives, you know, with what we're talking about. You know, we're not motivational speakers. We're not, you know, professional speakers, but we do want to put and talk about the truth behind a lot of these topics. And just by being able to reach to new listeners, man, that just gives me more fuel to keep going and to hopefully get this to, you know, a much bigger area, a much bigger arena, you know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a goal that I could check off my list, and now going on to the next one.
Yeah, you got to keep pushing, keep growing. But man, so what's been up with you lately, Christian?
Man, barbecue season is here, dude.
It is. I had a big one at my house yesterday.
Yep, so I've been cooking. I love barbecuing, bro. I don't know what it is. You know, it's one of those things where I feel like, man, it might be like this manly thing, man. I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's like this thing where I just feel like I'm the shit, bro. I'm just over there, like, throwing down on the grill, cooking. You know, I like to cook, like, arrachera, you know, pinchos, Puerto Rican pincho, which is shish kebabs. You know, and I'm not a big burger kind of guy, so I do a lot of, like, eats and stuff, but I love barbecuing and just listening to music. I just bought myself a Bluetooth speaker. Yes, I was a little bit behind. So I got myself that. I got myself that, and I've been listening to music, and I just got myself a new grill, like the last time you came.
Yeah.
So been putting it to work, you know?
Yeah, but you know what I hate, though? When I'm on the grill all day long, I realize sometimes I don't even eat. That's what happened to me yesterday.
No, yeah.
I was in the grill all day. Then I went to bed, and I was like, why am I hungry? Then I thought about it. All I ate all day long was, we kept it simple. It was hot dogs and burgers in my house. Normally, it's anything but we had a bunch of people over, so I kept it simple. It's cheaper that way. But all I had ate all day long was one hot dog and one hamburger, because I was just feeding everybody. Oh, I was feeding, listening to music. You know, I had a couple of drinks with me, chilling nicely, but I didn't eat.
But yo, it is kind of weird, though, because I remember, I remember when my grandma used to cook, right, in big portions for like Thanksgiving and Christmas, and she will never eat. And I'll be like, abuelita, you know, how come you're not eating? She's like, oh no, que cuando uno cocina no le da hambre, you know, when you're cooking, you don't get hungry. And now, you know, I cook a lot. You know, I make arroz con gandules for the whole family. I'll cook all that, and when I cook, I don't want to eat either, bro. I'll eat like a real small portion. I don't know what it is, but I have no appetite. And even when I grill too, like, yeah, I'll take a little bite of the arrachera, and then I end up getting, you know, drinking a lot of beer and forgetting that I was even hungry. But
that happens to me.
To you, or you've heard that before. You know, it's just, I don't know what it is, but it's like this weird thing, bro. You don't get hungry.
No, it's true. I've heard it before, but it also happens to me. And, you know, Somebody's got to know why. If you do, yo, hit us up. Let me know, because it's the mystery of the summer right now.
Yeah, yeah, man. Because I'm losing weight, bro, and I'm grilling every day. Like, what the hell's happening?
Yeah. You know, but one of the nice things about barbecues for me is just getting that time to just hang out with family.
Oh, yeah.
Working all day, being out on the week, I don't see my daughter as much as I like to sometimes, especially with my job. I have to travel every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And just all day long, even though it's Michigan, man, it's cold out here. It was May. It was probably like high 40s, low 50s. So I brought the grill in the garage, but my daughter came out and hung out with me. So before all the guests got there, which is me and her, so we were riding bikes in the garage, nice. Just grilling and jamming out to music. So it was some nice time to, you know, get that fatherhood on.
Yeah, and I like the fact now that, so my daughter's 4, you know, and she, you know, she has her own little, it's much easier now because she's 4, so she understands a lot. She could hold conversations. She could do a lot of things by herself, you know. So I put her to marinate meat. I'll put her, she loves like bringing me the stuff. She'll help me out just because that to me is the best father and daughter time. Mm-hmm. You know, and usually, you know, in the summer, she'll be able to, right now when I'm barbecuing, she'll be able to ride her bike the same way, you know, while I'm actually in the grill and all that. So I feel like years later on when she gets older, she's going to remember those days of barbecuing with me and listening to some salsa and eating that stuff. So, man, those are great times, bro. And I saw it on your Snapchat, man. It looked like you guys were having fun.
We were, man. It was good times. Anytime family and friends get together. But you know, with my little girl, she's only 3, so she's a little too young. I don't trust her with no type of food unless I'm feeding it to her, because she's gonna think it's a game. If I give her the adobo, I tried. I was like, pass, you know, like pasame el adobo, and then she just started like, she opened it up and started like throwing it all over in the garage. I'm like, I got mad for them. Like, no, it's my fault. Like, you know, it's a kids. They play. That's what they're doing. He's got to have fun with it and go with the flow.
That's funny, man. She starts throwing it everywhere, huh?
Yeah, no. And so, just so everybody knows, you only have one child, right?
Yeah, I have one daughter, man, my little princess.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, same here. And it's kind of ironic, both of us fathers to little girls.
Yeah, man. And I remember, you know, I read something that you put the other day where you know, you thought, I don't know exactly. I can't quote it, you know, but it was something about like having a son, but then, you know, you got blessed with a daughter and it's like the best thing ever. I feel the same way, bro.
Yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, growing up especially as guys, you always talk about, yeah, you know, I'm gonna have a son. You know, I'm gonna put him to box, play some baseball, basketball. Yeah. And so you have all these ideas and, you know, at the end of the day, all I wanted was, you know, a healthy child. I was happy when I found out I was going to be a father. And when I found out it was a little girl, I was very happy, but my mind had already told me it was going to be a boy. And so I froze for a second. I didn't know what to make of it. And so it was a whole new kind of bunch of emotions, yeah, and planning. And even though you never really know, sometimes when, you know, your gut feeling tells you, so I was real cocky, like, yeah, it's going to be a boy. It's going to be this, you know, my girlfriend, then wife, now she was like, no, it's going to be a little girl, blah, blah. We were just kind of talking shit to each other. But it ended up being a girl, and I'm grateful. And honestly, I've learned so much.
But the one thing, bro, and I don't know if you feel the same way, the one thing that always I get so frustrated with having you know, having a little girl is that for me to dress her is so hard, bro. Like, they have the shirt that goes under the shirt that goes under the other shirt, you know what I'm saying? And then they have the matching pants, and then you have to find the socks. And I'm like, man, I can't do it, bro. Just give me some shorts and a t-shirt, you know what I'm saying? Like when we were little kids. But mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I've had to learn the hardest, was learning about style and mm-hmm. and how to combinar real good so that she doesn't look like a bum coming out of the house.
That's in the area I gotta improve in. I keep it super simple. If it's too complicated, my wife was probably doing it. You know, when it's a little boy, if you're playing in the yard, you just let him run around with his shirt off. You know, I'm not gonna do that with a girl.
Yeah.
So if it's a boy, I just like, hey, just throw these shorts on. Let's go outside and play. But mm-hmm. So for me, my rule is I keep it super simple. I gotta step up in that department though.
It's hard, bro, man. I have to like match this and that. Usually I'll just call my mom or one of my aunts and be like, hey, or I'll take a picture of it.
Like,
I'll be like, does this
this okay?
match?
Yep.
Does these socks match? But now she's getting a little bit bigger now and she's starting to pick up her own thing. And man, it's a blessing, bro, because just being able to, my brother actually has a daughter as well. So it's all girls. We both talk about it all the time. We're like, man, it's like the biggest blessing because it's just they come to you for everything. It's like, oh, Poppy, like to them, you're the best person out there. You know what I'm saying? You're the one that, and it's great. It's an awesome feeling that I'm able to give her advice, and I know that later on in life she's gonna remember that and think about me
Yeah,
as, man, I'm getting emotional over here, bro.
kids are gonna model what we teach them, and like as a parent, it's not only what we tell them, it's what they see, right? So if a kid sees you getting angry at something, they're gonna mimic it. I remember once, what was I doing? I might have been, I was watching a football game, Michigan State, man. I think we had lost. It was a big game, and I got pissed. And so I see her playing with her games, and she slams her toy on the wall, and I'm like, whoa. Like, I didn't say nothing to her. She just saw my face angry, and I think I might have thrown I threw like a pillow at the ground. So she grabbed her toy and slew it at the wall. And I was like, damn, okay, I gotta check myself. And so if she's gonna mimic it at that level, what else is she noticing? And the truth is, it's everything. They're like sponges. They're gonna pick up everything around them, good and bad.
Everything, man, everything. And we're both, this is our first child, so it's one of those where like I have to be careful what I say or what I do, because you don't realize it till later on. It's like, damn, she's like a mini me. You know what I'm saying? Like, she has the attitude of she has the attitude of her mom. So every time I see her, I'm like, oh my God, this is you're just like your mother. But then she also does little things here and there that exactly mimic me to the T. And I see it also with my niece. She's like a mini my brother's mini me, because she'll do certain things. I'm like, oh, I could tell. My brother's really into sports as well, And so we'll have like the Bulls, Chicago Bulls, shout out, Michael Jordan all day. I'm not a big sports guy, man, so that's why I rely on Carlos a lot for that. But my brother's a huge sports fan, so he's the type that yells at the TV, right, when there's a game going on. He's very intense. And then one day I remember I was watching my niece here at the house. This was, I want to say, a couple months ago. And I was watching the Bulls, because my dad watches it, I watch it. I'm watching the Bulls, and she's like yelling at the TV, getting all excited. I'm like, oh my God, she's a mini me of my brother, man. Exactly like it. I started cracking up. I couldn't do it. It was just hilarious. It was just like watching him.
Yeah. And what's cool about it is, when they're first born, it's just like they're there. You could talk to them, and you want to think they're listening, but they don't know how to talk. They don't know what the hell you're saying. They just feeding off emotions. But as the kid gets older, you really start seeing those different phases of development, right? So from I'm just smiling to I'm getting angry at this to those points where they start learning like how to cry because they want something, versus how to cry because you're really sad, and you start picking up on the different ways they cry, and like all that stuff. Just really, it's for me, it's all amazing. It's crazy. It's like you're in charge of a life. And go ahead.
The one thing though, and I don't know if you're like that too, is that I give in, bro. I'm that softy. Like, she starts crying, I'm like, okay, mamita, I got you this. I'll get it for you. And everybody knows that already. Ah, they're like, ah, te tiene enredado, te tiene enredado.
Daddy's girl. Yeah, I'm the same way. I try. I think when I'm in front of my, I think when I'm in front of my mom or my dad, I try and put up a front and I try to act a little stronger. Be like, I got this. But truth is, I'll still give in. It's my biggest thing though was when I first found out I was gonna be a dad, it was a scary thought.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was scary,
Oh
man.
yeah,
I was
yeah.
I was a senior in college getting ready to, go out into that real world, and it was just a whole, like, it shook up everything that I was thinking that my plans were going to be, and not in a bad way at all. Some people act like they're going to be scared, like it's a horrible thing, like, oh, I can't have a kid, and yeah, it presents new challenges, but overall, man, it's made my life so much better being a dad.
Yeah, it's so much different, man. I remember I was scared too. I was scared, but I also like low key kind of wanted a kid too, you know, and I wanted to just have I don't know, it's kind of selfish to say, but I wanted someone. Yeah, I wanted that for the longest, man. And I always wanted to have like that mini me, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I found out that she was pregnant, I was like, this is awesome, you know? So I started saving. I was the dad that was reading all the books, you know what I'm saying? Like I was exagerado, like watching YouTube videos about what to do when she goes into labor.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually getting all the symptoms too. So if you don't believe that, I think it's true.
No, I did too, bro. I gained weight. I used to get morning sickness.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
I got big, dude. Yeah. I was like throwing up in the morning. Like I was like, what's going on, man? Like it was just so mad weird, but it was an experience that it's hard to explain, but it was awesome, man. It really got me in tune with reality, and it got me in tune with being a man, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it's another one of those rumors. I thought it was a false thing, like that guy started catching the symptoms, but when it started happening to me, I started freaking out, like, what's going on here?
Now, when your wife was pregnant, any weird traditions or customs that your family will do? Like, for example, for us, when the baby was born, you know, my mom got the baby what they call a mano de acebache.
What's that?
Right? It's a little bracelet that's black and red, and then it has like a little hand at the end. It's like these Santeria stuff, to be quite honest with you. But
it's all right.
It's a big culture. And then my daughter's mom is Mexican, so she had a lot of costumbres from, you know, Mexico. So she had like the whole, she couldn't leave the house for the first month, and I had to do everything, you know, for her. So a lot of weird customs. Did you guys have anything like that?
The biggest one for us is when she was born, she had to be dressed in all yellow.
To leave the hospital or?
To leave the hospital.
Yeah.
She had to be in all yellow. It's like good luck, good fortune, blessings. And it was really on my side of the family more. My wife's family didn't really do that, but it wasn't no big deal. So call it superstition, whatever you wanted. I know if my, you know, my great grandma did it, my grandparents, my parents did it, I was like, all right, I'm gonna do it too.
So the one tradition that we had here, and we've been my brother and I did it, was that once we find out that they're pregnant, we don't shave, so we let the beard grow out. Till she has the baby. So that's, I mean, we were like, I was looking like
you and your brother started that, or it was something your family's just done.
Well, my dad did it. I'm not 100% sure, but I know that he's done where he shaves it completely off.
Yeah.
But I think my brother and I, we kind of took it to the next level and did the whole no shaving thing, man. We looked like straight up wolves.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy, but little traditions like that, I feel like later on, you know, when the kids are bigger, you start telling them crazy traditions, and it just adds to the flavor of a family, you know?
And I think when you're, especially like we're Latinos, you know, we're our big sisters, there's a lot of indigenous beliefs. Some of us have some African beliefs in there. And so in my side of the family, this happened with both my grandmother on my dad's side and then my mother. They both told me I saw the little girl before she was born. My grandmother, she's told us for a long time. I trust her over a doctor on what the child's sex is going to be. I've never seen her be wrong. And she says all the babies come to me in the dreams before they're born. And so she said, you know, I've seen your daughter exactly how she was going to look like. And for my daughter, my mom saw her before she was going to be born. And so again, call it superstition, whatever you want. I've heard friends from other cultures who've had similar experiences. I never have, at least like with seeing the kid born, but I've seen him be right in a bunch of different ways. And so it's always pretty cool to mix in, you know, that modern medicine or whatever the doctor tells us with that traditional part of our background.
Yeah, like it's, I'm all about tradition, and La Verdad is all about tradition and culture. It's actually our biggest things, you know? So I remember another big thing was that her family had this tradition that as soon as you had the baby, you had to eat una sopa de pollo, but with no seasoning. It was like the worst sopa de pollo. It was kind of like this. Yeah, like, man, I remember it smelled bad, bro. And she was just eating it, you know, and it was supposedly because it gives them like, I don't know what it was, man, but it was just really weird.
Just do it.
But you know what? I respect it. I respect it, man. They had a lot of traditions too, you know. And I've heard other people that have traditions as well. And every single one of them, I love it, man, because it's just it adds to our culture, man. It just adds to who our identity, right?
Yeah, and the truth is, there's different ways of knowing and different ways of interacting with the world and having philosophies about how, you know, life and reality operates. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these traditions are just ways that, like, you know, our ancestors and people from our background were adapting to the world. And the fact that it's been done over and over and over again will sometimes show you, hey, there might be some science behind it. There could be something there, at least with the intention. When you approach it with good intention and you know, do one of those little rituals with you know, hoping for a result. Mm-hmm. It's still done over the centuries and centuries because, hey, for a lot of people, it's worked.
Yep. And that's one of the things that I love about history, too, is that culture stays alive and makes us who we are, man. So there's a bunch of other stories, man. People, if you have crazy stories of when you had your kids or crazy stories that you've heard, share it with us, like put it on the comments of this podcast and be more than happy to share it with us. Cause makes us at the end of the day, we're all kind of similar because we all have like the same ones. So like I just brought up the mano de acebache, which is the red and black, but I know that the Mexican culture has the same thing. They have one of the things like called el ojo or something like mm-hmm. that. And it has like a little eye. So my daughter had both because she's Puerto Rican and Mexican. Hey, double, I was like, man, ain't nobody messing with you, man. Like that, man. I know there's other things like they won't let people kiss their baby. Or, for example, I think whenever somebody will say, oh, your baby's so cute, like they will say something back like in under their breath so that they, you know, it's like weird traditions like that. I'm like, damn, like. We do a lot of crazy things to protect our kids, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hey, there could be a whole nother episode on just the ones people do to protect themselves, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially as Latinos, we protect our kids big time, man. And that, you know, brings us into the whole being Latino parents. It's just that we've always got taught that I remember always being taught that. De comer piedra para que mi hija coma carne. You know what I'm saying? Like, build on each other. Like I'd rather eat dirt as long as my daughter can eat real food. And it's always been in my head. That's something that my grandfather had told me a long time ago. And I seen it through my dad and all that. And it trying to make sure that I do everything for her. You know what I'm saying? So, it's crazy, man. It's crazy how it changes our lives, bro.
Yeah, no, and you know, the same way that, like, our grandparents and parents came to the U.S. to try and build a better life. And for us, one of our goals is to do the same thing for our kid, right? You know, I want to position her and any other future kids I have so that their life is a little easier, right? So mm-hmm. building that wealth. I'd like to one day be able to say, hey, here's $10,000. Go take this trip across Europe or something, right? So things that people maybe from other cultures or just who have money take for granted, I'd like to offer that to my kids one day.
Yeah. Now, the one thing though that I've noticed, and maybe we could talk a little bit about this, is that how do you keep the appreciation for the culture around? Because and the reason I bring that up is that I've seen some people that, you know, let's say the parents worked really hard for their kids, right? So their kids are a little bit more well off, right? And I feel like they start to lose that culture a lot. They assimilate a little bit into this high class culture that has, and I feel like our culture, you know, especially, you know, the Puerto Rican culture, Dominican culture, you know, a lot of it comes from like the lower class, you know, because they were, you know, it was little superstitions here and there that we had to do. in order to keep us on a day-to-day. So sometimes I feel like the people that end up getting a little bit more higher class, they start to forget about that culture. How do you keep that? How do you think we could keep that tradition alive and that como se dice, that love and that appreciation towards that culture?
I think two big things for me, at least. One of them is make sure it's alive in your household, right? If they don't see you into it, they're not going to be into it either. So mm-hmm. So that's going to be a big one, from the music they listen to the food they eat. If you speak Spanish, I think it's a great one. Not because you have to speak Spanish to be Latino. I do think that's bullshit, people who act like that. But I think the fact, anything you can do that still maintain it alive in your household, that's the first step. But the other one is connect with other kids from the background. The ones who I see lose it more or assimilate quicker are maybe when they start moving into the suburbs, or if they start rejecting it, or if something makes them feel embarrassed about it for some reason. So mm-hmm. make them have that pride in it. Yeah. Overall, though, to be honest with you, I think in the Latino community in the U.S., it's established enough. It's always going to be there. This whole idea that they're going to assimilate. And when people say assimilate, pretty much it means assimilate into white culture, right? Or as close to it as you can. That's what people usually think about. Or anything that's like not Latino. But the Latino community in the U.S. is large enough and established enough that it's its own thing, right? So maybe, you know, I'm my wife and I were Dominican. So maybe if I move to Chicago, most of the Latinos there are Mexican and Puerto Rican. So mm-hmm. maybe she loses some of that, you know, Dominicanness, but she's still going to have that Latino community in a place like Chicago. Yes. If I were in LA, it might be more of that Mexican. You know, if you go to Miami, it might be more of, you know, the Cuban and Caribbean in general. But overall, the community is established enough where you can get a, you know, any little part of Nuestra America, right? Mm-hmm. Any part of it, you could still keep it alive in the U.S. And one of the biggest ways is just congregate with each other and make sure our kids are still hanging out together.
Yeah, man, and that makes a lot of sense, you know, and just staying, keeping that tradition alive and keeping that culture is what made me what I am this today. So I always want to make sure that I do that with my daughter as well. And one of the things, too, I remember when I was talking to my uncle last week for the salsa episode, you know, I heard a couple of people say, man, you're young and you know a lot about salsa. But, you know, it was because every single day I would wake up listening to salsa, you know, and it just became part of my life. So, you know, continuing that is one of the things that I want to do, that I could continue that with my daughter, continue the love and the passion that I have for where I come from. You know, I might have not been born in Puerto Rico, but I love how much pride we have, you know, and not just Puerto Rico, but the Latino culture together, because, man, it's a beautiful it's a beautiful sazon. It's a beautiful sofrito that we put in together. It's all different. All the different backgrounds all have that one connection behind it that makes us one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. And it's the same way for me, right? I remember in college, my roommates were real surprised because when I clean, you know, yeah, we would listen to the hip hop, some reggaeton. A few of them were from Texas, so they would listen to like some Tejano music, some cumbias. But here I go blasting some Marco Antonio Solis, some boleros, like mm-hmm. old school baladas, you know, Nelson Ned, Jose Feliciano, El Otrio Los Pancho. So all these like old ass music from like the 60s. But it's because my mom would just blast that when she was listening to music. So I didn't feel like it was really a Saturday cleaning unless I had that at some point during the day. So, you know, I learned from them. They learned from me. By the end of the year, we were jamming to each other's music. And so that's just a whole part of the process, man.
Yeah. And music plays a big role, man. And I think we're going to have to expand. We're definitely going to have to expand on that a little bit more because, you know, music is my background. That's what I went to school for. And I love music. And I know that people out there have a lot of knowledge and insight on music. So we'll definitely have much more episodes on music. But I did want to touch upon that, you know, upon our culture and keeping it alive. But, you know, today's podcast, we're going to keep it a little bit short. We definitely wanted to group together and talk. We haven't done it in a while. We've been getting guests in here and there, but we just wanted to remind you guys of what we stand for and what we're going to be doing in the future.
Yeah, no. And again, thank you for rocking with us. We want you to hit us up. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review on iTunes. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Google Play Music, on SoundCloud, Stitcher. Man, most of the big podcast directories, we're going to be on there now. And if there's a place you want to see us at, just hit us up, and I'll make sure to submit my name in there. Any way that can make it easier for you to listen to us.
Yeah, and once again, man, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And also, it'll be the rate, review, and subscribe, and share us, like us on Facebook. Carlos, man, let's get back at it, man. We're going to have to barbecue next time you come to Chicago.
We got to figure it out, man. Either you got to come here, it fell through last weekend, or I got to go out there soon. But it's always a lot more fun when we're in the same room together recording.
Yeah.
Hasta la próxima. Nos vemos. Adiós. Chao.
Take it easy, mi gente.